two stories today that both involve the space domain, but from very different angles. The White House is reportedly pressuring American space companies, specifically the commercial launch and satellite sector, to skip President Macron's Paris Space Summit. The framing from the administration is essentially: France is trying to use this summit to establish governance frameworks for space that would constrain American commercial activity, and we want to deny it legitimacy by keeping U.S. industry out of the room.
This is a recurring tension in how the U.S. has approached multilateral space governance since the Artemis Accords. The Biden administration built the accords partly as an alternative framework to the UN Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, which was seen as too slow and too easily blocked by Russian and Chinese diplomatic resistance. The Trump administration inherited a more assertive version of that posture. American commercial space operates under American rules, and international forums that might constrain it are to be avoided or countered.
The complication is that space has become genuinely international in its economic and security implications. SpaceX's Starlink operates satellite networks that provide internet connectivity to dozens of countries. Those countries have legitimate interests in orbital debris standards, radio frequency allocation, and the terms under which commercial operators access their markets. Excluding them from setting those terms doesn't eliminate their interests. It just removes the venue where those interests get negotiated peacefully.
Macron has been trying to establish France and the EU as the adult supervision for tech and space governance, the entities that will impose standards when the US commercial sector won't self-regulate. His AI Act approach, his attempts to tax American tech platforms, and now this space summit are all expressions of the same geopolitical strategy. The White House response is to delegitimize the forum rather than engage and shape the outcome.
Whether that's strategically wise is a separate question from whether it's legally available. The US government can encourage, but probably cannot legally require private companies to boycott a foreign summit. SpaceX, Amazon's Kuiper project, Rocket Lab, these are private entities. And if attending the Paris summit is commercially advantageous for them, the White House's leverage is informal at best.
From space politics to actual space science, Hubble has spotted something genuinely unusual over Saturn's south pole, a 10-sided wave pattern, essentially a decagonal atmospheric structure, rotating in the upper atmosphere. We've known about the hexagonal storm at Saturn's north pole for decades. The Cassini mission mapped it extensively, and it remains one of the most striking geometric structures ever observed in a planetary atmosphere. A 10-sided analog at the South Pole is something different and raises immediate questions about whether there's a common atmospheric dynamic that produces these polygonal patterns.
The physics here involve the interaction between jet stream-like atmospheric bands and the planet's rotation rate. There are mathematical models that predict stable polygonal standing waves under certain conditions. Cassini's data helped refine those models for Saturn's north pole. But the south pole, having a different geometry, a decagon instead of a hexagon, suggests the southern hemisphere's atmospheric conditions are meaningfully different, perhaps because of seasonal variations in solar exposure at Saturn's tilt angle.
Saturn's year is about 29 Earth years, so its seasons are long and slow. The North and South poles can be in very different seasonal states simultaneously. If seasonal solar heating is what's determining the geometry of these patterns, you'd expect the shapes to evolve over Saturnian timescales, which means Hubble and Webb could potentially watch this in slow motion over the coming decade.
And then, there's the study out this week about the November solar storm and GPS accuracy. Researchers found that last November's geomagnetic event, the storm that produced Aurora Borealis visible as far south as Texas, shifted U.S. GPS readings by up to 33 feet in some locations. To give that number context, consumer GPS typically has an accuracy specification of 10 to 15 feet under ideal conditions. A 33-foot error doubles or triples your positional uncertainty at a moment when the data is already stressed.
For most consumer applications, a 33-foot GPS error is mildly annoying. Your navigation app thinks you're in the next lane over. But for precision agriculture, which relies on GPS-guided equipment accurate to sub-inch tolerances, or for autonomous vehicle systems that are already operating near their sensor fusion limits, or for military applications where position accuracy is operationally critical, a 33-foot systematic error is a serious degradation.
The solar cycle peaked in late 2025, and activity is expected to remain elevated through at least 2027. That means the November event isn't an outlier to be discarded. It's a preview of what could happen repeatedly over the next year or two. Space weather forecasting and GPS resilience planning are going to need to become operational priorities, not just research topics.